Thank you. I have a bulletin. It is an interesting morning. It's March, and things are a little bit different this morning. We will not be having communion. Ellen has COVID, and so she is out. We don't have a pianist, organist, because Barbara Shaw has COVID, and so she is out. And somehow or another, I left my brain at home, and so this is going to be an interesting morning. I had to just stop and go and get a bulletin. So the morning begins. It is March. We will not have communion this week. Let's plan on doing it next Sunday. I pointed out that's interesting, since in February, we had to delay a week. Maybe we're setting a precedent to do the second Sundays for communion. We'll have to see. Let us know your preferences on all of that. I have to tell you, the only thing that broke in the church was the printer in the office. We got that fixed. But because things have been broken so much, I was giving a wonderful gift. Don Boyles gave me a gift. It is a cross made out of two wrenches. So we fix things, we keep making things, repairs, and we keep going on. Amen? Amen? By way of announcements, you see on the back of the bulletin some of the things going on there. Are there any other announcements that we need to lift this morning? We will be doing two interesting hymns. They're unusual for this congregation, and so I had asked that the choir rehearse those ahead of time. Mark Doctor has COVID, so there was no choir, so they didn't get rehearsed. So we will have the videos of them. And just for your information, the last hymn will be the United Methodist Church of Johnstown. That's the church I came from, and that is some of the staff that I hired on, and we did that song there often. So for me, it was familiar, not as much for you. Announcements, anything else for the good of the order as we are preparing ourselves to be in worship and to gather as a family? If not, stand and wave hello to everyone. And oh, wait. Sandy Tinney has her hand up on something. Let's find out what that is about. So you can sit back down for a minute, because Sandy, you know, she could go on. Test.
Actually, I'm announcing that the Women's Society will meet this Saturday at 10 o'clock. That sort of, the second Saturday came awful fast.
It certainly did. This month has sort of streamed forward. January seemed like it took a month to go by, but February was gone in a week. So anyways, Women's Society, Women's Group, next to, and who's invited to that, Sandy Tenney? Every woman. And all your friends. All right, amen. Good work that they do there. Any other announcements? All right, let's get back to standing up. Okay.
Please remain standing. And we'll do the call to worship. Almighty, all-powerful, all-loving God, come and be part of our worship this morning.
We come to pray, to listen, to sing, but through all, we come to worship at your feet.
God of darkness, of rain, of wind, of snow.
Strength, nourishing waters, help us, Lord, to know the wondrous
Come to God here and now in celebration. We come from many places, from many viewpoints, from many families, and we are all one in Christ.
Please be seated.
Our first scripture today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4a. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in all the families of the earth shall be a blessing." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The word of the Lord.
It was it my imagination, or did the words in the hymnal not match the video? Welcome to March, ladies and gentlemen. We're on a journey. So by way of concerns, we want to lift those persons on the back of the bulletin that continue to need our care. The death toll in Turkey from the earthquake is incredible. It bears noting that people complain about building codes and all of the struggles they have to go through to get permits to build. And yet one of the reasons the death toll is so high is a lot of the buildings there were built substandard and they collapsed, and so the death toll was high. We need to give thanks sometimes for how lucky we are, even though we complain. But we lift those people, we lift the people in Ukraine and in Russia in war. We lift the people that are struggling with snow, 5 feet of snow in Northern California. Gosh, that's almost as much as I got in my yard last week. So lots and lots of things to be prayerful for about. I want to lift Neil. He had a sore throat that turned into a bad cough now, and Lucy's a little worried about him, but she says he's stubborn and won't go to the doctor. Did anybody know that about Neil? I want to lift Barbara Shaw. You know that her husband Frank has been suffering from dementia and is slowly declining, and they had to move because he's over 6 foot something, and Barbara is not nearly that tall, so she just couldn't actually help move him around enough. So at any rate, he got sick, contracted COVID, so they took him to the hospital. He now has COVID, a urinary tract infection, and is suffering many strokes. But then Barbara turned out that she has COVID, so she cannot go visit him. So she needs our prayer. She says, Frank is not going to be okay not seeing her. She goes and visits him every day. It's a routine they've established that gives him peace. And without that, she's really worried about how he's going to try and understand his world. So she is stressed about it. And so we lift them. We lift them in prayer. Are there other concerns that you have this morning as we come and as we gather and lift one another? By way of celebrations, Diana Hunt, if you would come forward, please. As we are preparing for Diana to come forward, Elizabeth, where are you? She's 5 years old today, and we want to celebrate her birthday. Wave hello, Lizzie. Happy birthday to you, Elizabeth Tavaki. We want to... I tell you, there we go. We're marching into March, aren't we? A lot of things happen in the world that go unseen. Richard came and fixed a leaky faucet in the bathroom, and he's already started doing some replastering to fix the holes that were leaking, so goes without many people noticing. But this lady does a lot of work that does not go acknowledged, and so this is from us to Diana Hunt. Thank you. Thank you, Diana. I'm not sure if any of that is exactly March colors, but Paya picked it out, so I'm sure that it's perfect for all that we're celebrating. We celebrate you. I have down here that Larry, that your lovely bride has a birthday coming up on Friday.
Absolutely.
Ruella Contour, and she's going to be 29. Is that right? All right, 29 years young, and we celebrate her on 40. You have to celebrate your birthday with Hadley, who has a birthday on Friday, and I have, she's 23. I'm thinking that there's an error in our database on that one. 12? Happy birthday to you, dear. Courtney and Mike Mitchell celebrating the 4th anniversary on Friday as well. Rowan Whitecalf on Sunday, this coming Sunday. True? Did we get that right? What's going on back there? Is there something we need to share?
We were
That's what I have written down. I'm not sure what's... 16? See, 4 was close. 4 was close. I cannot tell you why the database... It's March. Maybe we're all crazy like a March hare. Any other birthdays, anniversary celebrations? Yes, please. Johnny is turning 5. On when?
Thursday.
Hey, Johnny. Good for you guys. Others? Other celebration? Oh, Jim Latow.
Sort of good news and bad news. A young man about 20 years old, his folks took him off the life support, so he passed. Don't know his name. As a result of that, my daughter-in-law got a kidney.
Your daughter-in-law has what?
She got a kidney yesterday morning.
Bittersweet, bittersweet. It's celebrate a kidney and life, and we pray for the young man who passed. So, amen, amen. Others, other prayer concerns, other things that we need to know for the good of the order? All right. Let's join in our unison prayer and read responsively. Lord, in our Lenten journey, we come in prayer. May we walk through the seasons intentionally. Help us remove distractions that take our gaze away from you. May we tune out the noise around us. May we simplify where we have been stressed. May we surrender what has been burdensome. May we repent the separation of our lives from Jesus Christ. Lord, guide us to see your goodness and your deeds of love and compassion. Draw us closer to your brothers and sisters so that we might know you better and understand you more completely. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation. Loving Lord God, thank you for traveling with us through this Lenten journey. Thank you for your grace that helps us to be Christians in the midst of the journey, in the midst of a world that is increasingly less obedient to your guidance. Lord, as we come and gather, we have lifted some of our concerns and our prayers, and there are others that are on our hearts, in our minds, that we share with you silently. And amongst those, we ask your prayers and your understanding that all of us can know that you are ever with us and always guiding and leading us. Lord, thank you for the gift of March and the spring that is just around the corner, the irises that are beginning to pop up, the green growth that reminds us that there is life returning again, and that out of the snow and ice has come water that has nourished the land. Out of our struggles and out of all of that, the life that we have endured, Lord, may we also understand that with your love and Christ's light, there is new life, and that we are ever blessed by Christ's walking with us, carrying us, urging us, inspiring us, loving us, and leading us. May we also experience new life, new growth through this season of Lent, through these beginning glimmers of spring. Lord God, hear us as we come together. Hear us as a people scattered from all across the world and yet gathered before the cross, gathered with you in praise, and praying as you have taught us the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespass. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are not going to be able to do an offertory with Barbara gone. For those of you online, we're doing this a little bit differently, so we will pursue that. The offering plates are in the back of the narthex as usual. We thank you for your support as we continue on. I'm going to ask that you stand and join Larry in the gospel as we turn to our Bible lesson.
This morning's gospel is from the book of John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these things or these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah. You can go sit down with Morella if you want. That's all right. You can stay up here if you like. Stephanie, bring the kiddos forward. All you young'uns, you big kids, all you little kids that want to come and do the motions to the song, come down front. Come on down. Hi, Adley. Stephanie, you tell her when you're ready.
Love that old cross where the tears stand.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks, everybody. Well done, Old Rugged Cross. You can all go sit back down now that you've got your energy stirred up. And everybody get your aerobics in there a little bit. You know, I don't turn around. Look, are all of you doing the signs, signals, and movements too? All of you at home going through all the motions? There will be a quiz. So I have a couple questions for you. How many of you are native Coloradans? Native Coloradans. How many natives? Okay. How many of you are naive Coloradans? No, I don't want to know that question. So the rest, yeah. How many of you are transplants then? That means that everybody else, okay, all right. How many of you are transplants to Aurora? Okay, I was not born in Aurora, so we're all, you know, from different places and different things and what have you. I didn't watch you. Are you native Aurora? I was trying to keep track of everybody, and boy, did I get lost. That's all right. Do you remember how it felt to be transplanted? I think one of the biggest shocks that I had being transferred from Weld County to Arapahoe County was trying to go in renew my driver's license. In Weld County, you walk up to the clerk and do the business and leave. In Arapahoe County, you bring your lunch and you stay all morning until they call your number. I kind of like the old system, sorry. Here is Abram. Larry did a good job lifting that this morning. Here's Abram is living in Ur. All right, Pia, we got some slides here. Let's walk into this. We have all right, you see where we're at? Africa, you see the place? Mediterranean, Europe, Eurasia, all right. We're gonna zoom in. Next slide, please. All right, see where we're moving into here? All right, there's Iraq today, Turkey, Iran, Israel, all of those. Okay, zoom in one more time, Paya. Okay, thank you there. So this is Ur, that's where he came from, probably Kuwait today. All right, and he traveled northwest to Haran, and then the Lord led him into the promised land, Cana. Go ahead, one more slide. There is some markings on that. You can't read them. I can't read them from here, so I'm sure you can't read them, so that's neither. But I always listen to geography. You can go to the next slide, Paya. That's prettier. I always listen to directions and towns and kind of skip over them. So I wanted to take a minute and kind of give you a graphic idea of where we are in the world. Coming out of the Fertile Crescent, traveling northwest up the Tigris and Euphrates, then traveling down into what was the Promised Land. And it's worth noting one thing, and that is that the Promised Land was not empty when they arrived. So conflict was a piece of what happened there, and we need to remember that and think about that and be familiar with that as we proceed. But here's Abram, and he is being transplanted. He's being uprooted from his homeland, his home country, his home people, his home language. Have you ever traveled out of the country? Those of you who have traveled internationally, how do you, I've traveled several times, and every time I thought, kind of anxious to get back home. I remember once coming back, and all of us in the group stopped and got down and kissed the ground. We had been to Haiti in the middle of the first revolution in 1990, and it was momentous to come home and be home and know you were safe. So sometimes that being uprootedness is difficult. And here's Abram. He has been uprooted, but there is that promise that God has given him. And Abram is faithful and he follows God, but he's promising him the promised land. What is promised land? You know, we hear that term. I was just thinking we celebrated Martin Luther King in January. Do you remember he preached about that after his different sermons and different speeches? He gave one in Memphis. I have looked over and I have seen the promised land, he said. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. 2 weeks later, he was dead and assassinated. Did he see the foreshadowing that was coming? He had been warned. He had been threatened. His family had been threatened. "I may not get there with you," he said. But the Promised Land, what is the Promised Land? Is it a place? I grew up on the Western Slope, and there are cactuses and yucca plants and sand and lots of terrain to go out and ride your motorcycle on or do whatever you wanted to do. Sagebrush, pretty empty. Rabbits. Is that how you envision the Promised Land? Or more like, go back a step, please, dear Paya. Can you go back one slide? More like this, the Promised Land, a beautiful, lush green. Apparently there's a state park with Promised Land in it. I don't really know much about it, back east somewhere. But maybe that's more of where you grew up. Richard, you came from Nebraska, the Promised Land flat and lots of grass and open spaces, and I don't know. What's the Promised Land to each of us? Is it a place, or is it a place in the mind, in the heart? A place of peace and a nirvana, an Eden, a mental state of being. I remember as a young family, we started coming to church, and I discovered that the sanctuary was a safe place. It was a sanctuary. For an hour, we could sit in the pews, and the girls behaved themselves more or less. And we could sit and put the outside world outside and pause and reflect on how blessed we were and stop and remember how much we loved each other, sing some and sit some, daydream some. I don't think I ever napped out, but some people do that, and that's all right too, I suppose. Is that the Promised Land, that mental state of being where we find we are safe, where we find peace? The Promised Land. But God says to Abram, leave your country and your kindred and your father's house. Now consider for a moment, I mean, part of that is leaving your place. I remember moving from the Western Slope to the Eastern Slope. How many of you ever heard the phrase Western Slope and Eastern Slope? On the Western Slope, it's a pretty big issue because the Eastern Slope is naughty. Everybody over here is naughty because they take all the water from the Western Slope. So there's this kind of antagonism between the two. But I remember moving over here and thinking, uh-oh, now I'm amongst them. Maybe I'm one of them. And then traveling into the desert southeast into Ordway, Colorado. Traveling to places that were far away from parents' house, far away from what was familiar. But there's more than just leaving the locale or the vegetation and the kind of terrain that you're used to being. There's a piece of leaving that is leaving your kindred as well. And it may be that in this day and age, that's not such a big deal. I periodically will catch Paya in the office talking to her mama. Her mama is not even on this continent. But they're face-to-facing, and they're carrying on in Tongan. I don't know. I'm sure they're exchanging recipes or something good. They're up to something, because they're all a lot of giggling and carrying on. That's what Barbara and Frank Shaw are going to need to do if she can't get to see him long. But I don't believe she has a smartphone. I'm troubleshooting in the middle of the sermon. Did you catch that? But leaving your kindred is another piece of what has to change in another way. See, I want to tell you a story. I grew up, my mom was raised on a horse ranch in Pagosa Springs. How many of you know that area? Southeast Colorado. I saw the ranch where she grew up years later. Piney trees and creeks and meadows. It was beautiful country. There were always raised horses. They were dirt poor. The living room had wallpaper. They had taken the funny papers out of the newspapers for several years in a row, and they'd plaster that all over the wall. And you could read those anytime you wanted, over and over again. That was an interesting way of being. But my mama grew up there, and she experienced her mother. And her mother was terrified of engines. You see, this is the plains, and don't know what all had occurred, but she was a bigot. She determined that these were savages and that they were terrifying, and she was afraid of them, and she vilified them, and she taught that to my mother. Outsiders, foreigners were not okay. And that's the way my mother was raised, and that's the way my mother was somewhat raising me. My dad was of a different breed of cat. His father was a Presbyterian minister. I don't know how that fits into the whole story, but there was a calmness and an acceptance in my dad that helped me see that I had to leave my mother's house, her judgment and her discrimination and her fear, and go to another place. So leaving, God calling us on a journey. It might be calling us to do something radically different. It might mean changing. Think about the different alliances we have with different groups. I mean, I'm a Broncos fan. What if I had to change that? I've got a nephew who's from Houston, and he's not a Broncos fan. Oh, my goodness. How is it that we can say, all right, we can leave behind our allegiances and do things differently, those others who have specific favorites, favorite teams, favorite politics, political allegiances, stances on topics and causes? Consider that. Consider leaving behind those people that you're familiar with and leaving behind their biases. This is Lent, and that might be some of what we are about being called to do. You see, Christ is very explicit. I mean, dead serious explicit. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, your money, your energy, your time, your allegiances, your biases, all of them. We come to Christ. Jesus and Nicodemus, this story is always fascinating, and I love the way he is so totally clueless. And it's an interesting phenomena that he's taking Jesus literally. How can I be born again? I can't go back into the womb and come back. Jesus is trying to explain to him that you have to be born anew. You have to come to a new way of being in reality in the world. What you've always done, always felt, always were certain of, unless it is through allegiance with me, you might have to leave that land and come to the promised land. Now that slide, Paya. It's kind of small on there. Vincent van Gogh. Do we have the van Gogh? There we go. And you see on the left, there's a man, and he's squatted down with his arms out. On the right side, there's a woman with a little child. And the title of the painting is First Steps. You see, the baby's going to walk from mama to daddy. He's going to try those first steps. How many of you remember taking your first steps? I don't. How many remember your kids taking their first steps? I realized at that point that life was in dire straits because the kids were going to be going crazy now. But here are the first steps, those first tenuous steps, like Nicodemus taking those first steps from what he had been. Think about that. Think about what he was leaving behind, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the laws, all of the things that he was going to have to leave behind to follow Jesus. You must be born anew. You must begin again. Take first steps. The picture is important because of two things. One, those first steps, they can be frightening and tenuous. But the other is mama is right there. Now, in this analogy, it's mama. But with us, it is Jesus. As we take those steps, Jesus is with us, supporting us, guiding us,
picking us up when we fall down, inspiring us to move forward. That baby is not alone taking those steps. We are not alone in journeying in our first steps. This is the second Sunday in Lent, if you're keeping track, if you're tracking things and getting ready and moving on towards Easter. And so I ask you, what steps are you taking? Or maybe even more importantly, what steps do you need to start taking? What are you leaving behind in being allied and faithful only to Christ? And lastly, what prevents you from being holy, holy Christ's? May we belong to Him. Amen? Amen. I think we have another hymn. We are not going to do communion as we had announced before. To know you more. Richard, I think you know this one, don't you? Okay, no. This is the first, or the United Methodist Church in Johnstown, Colorado. Kimberly Heinrich is the leader, a vocalist and pianist. Let's stand and sing this together. I think they're only doing two or three hymns of it, or verses, but we'll see. Samu, Melissa. To know you more, Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to work on learning that. Not only learning the hymn, but learning and internalizing that that's our journey, to know the Lord more and more each day. So in the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may we grow closer to our Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Melba, you going to give us a note? Who's going to give us a note for our go now? I'll hum us something. Let's join hands. Richard, what's the note? Go. Does that sound right?
Every